We're going to begin the business meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. To start with, we're going to have our public comment period. Anyone, we have people who'd like to speak? First is Jerry Burgess, then Kevin Massabill, then Sharon Burnley, and then anyone else to be the start.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Jerry Burgess. I'm Bonnie Todd County Administrator. And first thing I want to do is thank your chairman and thank Dana Martin, our representative on the CTP, as well as Mike Estes and his staff for working with us. You heard his presentation on the Economic Development Access Program. That's what we're here about today. One of the things that I wanted to make clear from the beginning was not asking for a policy change, nor in the trend of today, we're not looking for a bailout. We're looking for a realization of the economic realities. I don't think anybody saw the recession that began in late 2007. Certainly we didn't when we applied for that program in 2006 for their current project. We've successfully used the Economic Development Access Program four times in Bonnie Todd County in the last 18 years when the timelines were less, with a three-year timeline. When I proposed to my board that we use it again with a five-year timeline, I told them that this would be a piece of cake, that we wouldn't have any problems, and obviously I was wrong. But the program is a great economic development tool. We've used it as that. We've invested heavily in it in the park in which we currently have our program, Bonnie Todd Center in Greenfield. The VDOT money invested in that park and roads is $900,000. We have invested $1.3 million, so much more than the match requirements, and we have some great projects as a result. There are similar stories across Virginia. Kevin Massengill, County Administrator from Dinwiddie, is here. He also has a project. We all want these projects to succeed. We all want qualifying investment and projects to locate there, but, you know, we can't do it ourselves. We're government. We're going to try to do what we can to make it happen. We understand economic development. We're very aggressive at it. But the environment right now, the only prospects we see, and I hear from our friends at Virginia Economic Development Partnership, is primarily people that are looking for existing buildings. Not many people are looking to build new buildings. They're few and far between. But this shell change and the proposal that Mr. Estes presented to you today will allow us an opportunity to ultimately succeed. Both Virginia Association of Counties and Virginia Municipal League are supportive of our request. And so quite simply, I would ask that you approve it at your action meeting next month. And I'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burgess. Thank you very much. Mr. Massengill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, again, my name is Kevin Massengill. I'm the county administrator in Dinwiddie County. So a little bit closer than Bonnie Todd. Would also like to thank Mr. Estes for his hard work on this. One thing, I'm not going to be too rhetorical or repetitive of what's already been said today. I want to be very cognizant of your time. However, I would like you to really understand that this is truly a partnership. Back in 2007, you all were able to favor us and be able to give us the funds associated with putting in an access road into a commerce park in Dinwiddie County. In 2007, in September, compared to 2010, September, is a big difference in time. We all want the same thing. We all want jobs. We all want capital investment. So I just encourage you to continue to work with us. We want the same thing in the very end. And Mr. Burgess, I think, has done an excellent job on behalf of several counties that are currently in this predicament. Again, not wanting any type of policy change at all, but just continue to work with the localities to be able to work with us, relieve us potentially of where we may be moving forward. So again, we're glad to answer any questions you may have specific of Dinwiddie, and definitely I'd like to thank you all for allowing us to address you all today.
Thank you, Ms. Massengill. Champ Burnley.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, my name is Champ Burnley. I'm president of the Virginia Bicycling Federation. Last November, we were here to support the changes in policy for transportation enhancement grants. We think that focusing on the core projects to move people, bike, pedestrian accommodations makes great sense. And also putting incentives in place to help complete those projects is good business and good public policy. I just want to say that I'm very happy to report back to you all that I'm seeing In talking to my colleagues across the strait, a great deal of demand, and this is across the state from Northern Virginia, Central Virginia, Southwest Virginia, an increased demand for a shift in transportation modes. Just as we've seen with passenger rail, I've seen a lot of people that are looking at alternatives to getting in their car and getting on the highway, and that includes bike and pedestrian projects. The bad news is, with fairly limited funds, I think we're going to see a huge backlog of projects this time next year that are going to come before this board to be requested to be funded, and I guess that's the kind of thing we like to see, but it's going to make for some difficult choices for you. I just want to say that you all certainly know what the benefits of these types of projects are: health benefits, environmental benefits, congestion mitigation. Also, we're seeing some great economic benefits from this. And as an example, there's a facility that is about two-thirds completed from Pittsburgh down to Cumberland, Maryland, called Great Allegheny Passage. They spent about $60 million to build this. It isn't even formally open yet. It will be open next November. And they saw a $40 million ROI with over 750,000 people that took advantage of that facility. So any investment that doubles your money in 3 years is the kind of investment I wish I could find to put my dollars into. So my point is, I think that the new policy change is fantastic. We support that change, and we hope that you'll continue to fund these types of core projects. As I say up the street at the Capitol, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think they've said that for a long time. Not only, I think, is this new policy change working, it's working incredibly well. It's not broken, and we commend you for that and certainly support this moving forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Anyone else like to speak? You're glutton for punishment. You want to come back for more?
Good afternoon, Commission members. I want to thank the Secretary for putting the Columbia Pike Transfer Action Item on the CTV agenda this afternoon. I want to recognize the substantial efforts of the VDOT staff that have worked collaboratively with us over the last 2 years to bring this agreement to this point. We feel that this action before you is consistent with the Governor's government reform effort. It does streamline regulation, reduces costs, and we think it will create jobs over the next 6 to 10 year time frame in this corridor. Arlington supports the current agreement as is being presented to you this afternoon. Our board has been briefed and will be acting on this at our next board meeting. Would say, as I mentioned this morning, Arlington is committed to maintaining and improving travel conditions in this corridor by all forms of travel. We recognize the Pike status as a major transportation corridor connecting points west of Arlington to the Pentagon and D.C. We seek to reduce driveway conflicts, expand street connections, and add left-hand turn lanes to improve the performance of this facility. We also seek to expand transit carrying capacity. This corridor carries over 15,000 riders on an average weekday. In terms of management, this represents a rather modest shift in the management of this facility. Arlington currently operates all of the traffic signals, all of the traffic cameras, street lighting, sidewalks, parking, bus shelters, and funds most of the substantial transit service. This action benefits the state by removing a maintenance responsibility and ultimate reconstruction liability for this aging arterial corridor. It is anticipated that in the next 5 to 10 years, major reconstruction will need to take place on this corridor, and Arlington is prepared to make that investment. It simplifies the review and approval process for a major capital investment program that we are undertaking in collaboration with Fairfax for both street and transit between the Pentagon and Bailey's Crossroads. These improvements will be made in close collaboration with our other agency partners, including VDRPT, VDOT, Fairfax County, the Department of Defense, and WMATA. I would also mention that this action will streamline redevelopment approvals, review and approvals, in this revitalization corridor. Currently, all projects along the Columbia Pike corridor run through two parallel processes, both the VDOT process as well as the Arlington process. This will actually reduce the level of process development. Currently, we've constructed over 1 million square feet of infill on this corridor with another 500,000 square feet currently under construction. This revitalization in a well-located area is good for creating jobs, it's good for creating tax revenue. And finally, we would assert that this is an excellent case study demonstrating that the Commonwealth goals for devolution of road responsibility can work in ways that benefit both local governments, the region, and the Commonwealth. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just want
to emphasize one thing. I know you don't make policy, but if you could send a message back to the Arlington Board that we are very interested in seeing their cooperation on the spot improvements on 66 inside the Beltway. But it's very important.
We will certainly take that message back.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Chase. Anyone else after Mr. Chase?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. I've expressed my concerns in the past about the Columbia Pike issue, and I promise you I'll be brief here. I realize this is, decisions like this is why they pay all of you the big bucks to do these things. I appreciate the fact that the Arlington County's representatives have indicated that Columbia Pike is very important to the county, and that when Columbia Pike fails, Arlingtonians feel the pain. And so it is in their interest to keep traffic moving on Columbia Pike. But the same also applies to I-66 and the I-95, 395 corridors, a fact that the Arlington Board often fails to appreciate. Columbia Pike is important to Arlington County, but I-66, as Mr. Rich has observed, and I-95 were important to the entire region, the Commonwealth, and the nation. The studies delaying the I-66 spot improvements are the result of an MPO action that is the direct result of a request by Arlington County. The delay on implementing multimodal improvements in the I-95, 395 corridor are a direct result of Arlington County's government action. In view of this, and as a parent, I guess I would simply observe that if my children were behaving in such a manner, including suing me for racist practices and for simply doing my job, I would not necessarily be rushing to give them a new iPod or a trip to King's Dominion. Just one man's opinion. Thank you.
Well, on that note, we'll move to the minutes of July 6, 2010. Any changes to those minutes? You have a motion?
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Move the maintenance division. Mr. Rupp. Okay.
The next three items on the board are abandonment actions relating to properties where many years ago VDOT had a construction project. We moved the route. There was a old section of the road that was just discontinued and in public use, and property owners who are adjacent to these pieces of old road have come forward and want to purchase them from us. And so we've had the public hearings and gone through the process, and with no objections at any of those hearings over the abandonment of these roads so they can be sold as surplus property. That's the action. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them related to any of the three of them.
Any questions?
Second.
Take them all at once? Do we have to take them individually?
You may take them all three, I believe.
All right. We'll take them all three at the same time. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent. Okay. Local assistance with the Estes. Come on down. We missed you.
Chairman. I'll be a little quicker this time. Action 4, if you don't mind, revenue sharing. We spoke about that earlier today, and basically the resolution will approve $15 million for 68 projects in 47 localities.
The motion?
Move to adopt.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
This contains the revenue sharing for Fauquier County.
I can verify that right now if you want.
Before I vote, I need to know that.
Too late.
You can't because you didn't vote in favor.
He knows his parliamentary procedure.
Yeah.
Does that have that? Okay.
You heard a voice.
Ms. Brown says it's in there, yes.
Excellent, Mr. Rich. We're very glad. We will show Mr. Rich did vote in favor of it.
Next item. Next item is on individual movement of allocations on previously approved revenue sharing projects that the board approved. These are either projects that have been completed and have surplus allocations or canceled projects. And the local county board of supervisors has each individually asked that they be put on existing projects in their secondary six-year plan that aren't officially revenue-sharing projects, and that's why it's in front of the board today.
Move the approval as a group.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is for the Economic Development Access Program. This actually is for a named industry. We spent a lot of time this morning talking about the bonded or speculative type industry. This is for a named economic development project in the town of Farmville, and we're asking that the board approve the allocation of $500,000 unmatched to the town.
Mr. Peek?
Yes.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, is the Virginia Byway designation. Both Giles County and Gregg County have approached VDOT and the Commonwealth Transportation Board to designate almost 20 miles of rural secondary as byways in that part of the state. This will bring the total up to a little over 3,400 miles in the Virginia Byway designation in the Commonwealth.
Mr. Martin.
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
Last item, Mr. Chairman. We spent a lot of time on the Columbia Pike transfer topic, and it's, again, as a reminder, the board in front of them has a resolution asking you to approve and authorize the commissioner to execute the agreement we've been discussing, as well as to transfer the pike from the primary system to the local road network.
Mr. Kuhlman.
I move to approve, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to also speak to that.
We have a second?
Second.
My motion, Mr. Chairman, before we actually go to a vote, is to remind my colleagues that this is a project that the state and the locality have collaborated on for years. We've worked through various issues during that time, and we've arrived at an agreement that I think expressly meets the concerns of this board on several different levels. The big question, however, that I want to remind you about is this is precisely the kind of project that the board has had in mind when it began to designate corridor solutions as opposed to individual project solutions. This involves, yes, improving and expanding even some of the capacity in the existing right-of-way for automobiles and other vehicles, but it also improves parallel road networks. It improves transit in the corridor. It improves the operations in real time. It enhances pedestrian access. And it coordinates, unlike most of the projects right from the beginning, it coordinates the transportation improvements that are going to be made with the land use decisions that are being made by the locality. In this case, I would suggest that the step is fairly simple that we're taking in terms of the resolution today. But actually you're fostering something much larger, and whether your localities or jurisdictions that you represent are large or small, these are exactly the kind of tools you're going to want to have at your disposal as development goes forward. I think it's a great project. I don't share the concerns of some that somehow this should be held hostage to a dispute on another matter. If that were the case, we would be able to proceed with very few projects in very few localities, because most of the time we are in active discussions and trying to work out disagreements on a number of things at the same time. So I would ask you to vote in favor of the resolution, but I'd also like you to keep in mind that this is exactly the kind of coordinated activity we're trying to foster with localities, And when a locality steps forward with this type of initiative, it definitely serves the Commonwealth of Virginia as well as a local citizen interest.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent. Thank you very much. Right-of-way division, Mr. Bennett.
Yes, sir. I have four properties on the agenda that are no longer needed for transportation purposes that VDOT would like to sell. The first is in Richmond District, Henrico County, in the Short Pump area. If anybody would like any further information.
Why don't we just simply take them all at once? Any questions about any of these? Most of these are in.
I move.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Crack. Mr. Carney, where are you?
He's at the ribbon cutting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the new members, I'm Tom Farney. I'm VDOT State BRAC Coordinator.
So what do you do as BRAC Coordinator?
My item, I'm presenting an item today, Mr. Chairman.
But beyond that, what else do you do? Could you please tell these gentlemen?
Absolutely. We have...
Can you make sure this is all being taped? I want to understand what you do.
I'll send you a copy of my evaluation, Mr. Secretary. we have a resolution before you today that allows the commissioner to enter into an agreement with Fort Belvoir, where VDOT is receiving a 148-foot wide easement for the future widening of Route 1 through Fort Belvoir. This is really a win-win for VDOT. We not only get the easement, but the Army is funding and constructing intersection improvements along Route 1 at absolutely no cost to VDOT. So I'd ask you for approval of the resolution.
Any questions about this? Ms. Barney, I am actually quite serious about this. They don't understand what you do and how...
Yeah, we had planned a briefing today, but because of the number of items Mr. Estes had on the agenda, I was bumped. Base realignment and closure, for the benefit of the new members, is something that's been around for a while, since the 60s, actually. The 2005 BRAC action involved many, many different relocations around the country and closures. The four big ones in Virginia, we had Fort Belvoir, which is the biggest, over 19,000 employees relocating to Fort Belvoir in four different spots, not just on Main Post. But at the Engineer Proving Ground, Urbana Station, which is in near Charlottesville, and the Mark Center, which is our biggest challenge right now in the city of Alexandria. We also have Fort Lee, which is receiving about 7,800 employees. We have Quantico, which is receiving 3,000 employees. And we have a closure at Fort Monroe in Hampton. There is an authority that's been set up to decide how that property will be developed. So I work with the military, with the various districts around the VDOT districts around the Commonwealth, to try to convince the Army of their responsibilities to help fund transportation improvements, and then when there is funding to execute those improvements. The ribbon cutting was mentioned by Mr. Garzinski. That was on the Fairfax County Parkway. A great success story. Mr. Coulomay, thank you for attending as well. That's a project that's been around for 40 years. It runs through the Engineer Proving Grounds. It languished for a long time because of the Army would not provide us the right-of-way. We went through about an 18-month negotiation. We finally came to an agreement with the Army. The road's been constructed. It'll open up to traffic Friday evening at 7 p.m. So it was a great success story and one of several more to come, I hope.
Well, why don't we talk about not such a great success story like the Mark Center?
The Mark Center. The Mark Center is, as I mentioned, is part of the Fort Belvoir BRAC action. It is for the what's called the Washington Headquarters Services. They're relocating many of their employees from around the Northern Virginia district, mainly in Crystal City, Reston areas, to a site at the interchange of Seminary Road and I-395. Very congested corridor and interchange. They are providing only a few turn lane improvements. Our studies, even the Army studies, have indicated it's going to be pretty much a disaster when it opens up in September 2011 from a traffic standpoint. We're in the process of doing some additional studies. We did one last year. The city did not like the solution that we came up with, so we're back to the drawing board trying to come up with another solution involving the existing Seminary Road interchange. Congressman Moran is hosting another meeting tomorrow night on the Mark Center, so it's our latest challenge in the BRAC saga.
I'll say, Mr. Farney, I give Mr. Farney a hard time because he's another member of the Prince William Mafia that runs all transportation in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
That's true.
But Mr. Farney's been doing an excellent job. It is not easy trying to be the grease between the states, the feds, and obviously different parts of the federal government and localities up there in the communities. And he's represented very well in all this. Mr. Lane?
I'm just going to ask, I've gotten several calls. You know, we've had some issues in Hampton Roads about, and in terms of looking at alternative uses, you're the person I should contact when constituents call me and say, we need VDOT to look at this and see if we could do something there.
Sure, absolutely.
You're the guy. Okay, thank you.
And then he has a colleague, Mike Coleman.
Correct.
Who does the general BRAC stuff. So Tom only does the transportation impacts. There's Mike Coleman who works the other impacts of BRAC.
Yeah, and right? Mr. Coleman works for the Office of Commonwealth Preparedness for Terry Sue.
Okay. Thank you.
We can give you that name as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ms. Carson.
Tom, one real quick question. On the heels of the success of the opening of the parkway, what's going to happen from the 95 bridge down to 1, which is a bottleneck right now by the tank farm, and all that R&D, there's R&D, new NTW stores and all. Is anything happening there?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's going to be a bottleneck. We are doing a study to try to see if there's a solution to add capacity to the Newington interchange, the Parkway interchange with 95. It's an environmental study that's underway. We've come up with a solution, a flyover ramp for the northbound off-ramp at the Parkway. But again, there's no funding to construct anything. But having said that, we are getting projects developed just in case funding comes along so that we can perhaps at your discretion, put some of that money towards those BRAC-type projects.
I'd like to work with you on that.
Great.
I know that's going to happen at bottleneck.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kulay, you'll make a motion after this?
Just one additional comment for my colleagues. The changes we've had to make, the accommodations we've suggested about the BRAC process, Tom, you've been able to gather those together, as well as the Secretary and others, and present that case, has really set off a larger discussion at the federal level about the inadequacies of what is called the defense access road provisions of the law, which were basically outmoded related to were in rural areas, not in population centers, when the increase in traffic might be very small in total numbers, but might be large in terms of percentage. And Senator Mark Warner and others have actually started a process by which those are being reviewed, recommendations. So, again, we're helping create the discussion of the changes we need to make these things work. It's unfortunate. These are after the fact, but going forward, it may make the process easier, at least in the future.
And just to clarify that a little bit, the military will not pay for a public road improvement unless it's proven that they're doubling traffic with their action. Imagine in Northern Virginia trying to double traffic. Imagine in Hampton Roads trying to double traffic. It conveniently gets the military out of the road funding business. And actually, one of your colleagues, Mr. Sterling, has been working very closely with me over the last 2 to 3 years to try to get the attention of some staff members on Capitol Hill to get those standards changed. And it looks like, thanks to Senator Warner, that those changes may be made sooner rather than later.
Can you make a motion?
With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move passage of this resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
I just want to publicly thank Tom for an excellent briefing at the geospatial, whatever they call that thing.
Intelligence agency.
There you go. It would just really show the magnitude of these projects and how it impacts the road, and it was a very enlightening thing.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Great. And we will we'll have you back next month after I get into a little more detail.
Thank you.
Okay. We are now on to VDRPP. Mr. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For new members of the board, I'm Corey Hill. I'm the Chief of Public Transportation for DRPT. For the new members, we are going to try to get briefings scheduled for you soon so we can bring you up on all the issues. So I won't go over today, but certainly look forward to talking to you in the future. For you today, we do have a resolution of support that we're asking you to act on for Tri-Transit Week. It's our third annual promotion. As part of DRPT's role, we are advocating the use of public transportation. This is a week-long event. It goes from September 20th to the 24th. We ask people all over the state to pledge to use transit during the week. We have operators all over the state that participate in the event. Last year was very successful, over 1,250 pledges, which is about the equivalent of 300 full busloads. So it's been a very successful event for us, and we're hoping that you'll support us again this year.
Any discussion?
Move adoption.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Bill, thank you very much. Okay, reallocation of rail enhancement funds. Mr. Page.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, as I briefly mentioned during the presentation just a few minutes ago in the workshop, we continue to re-rack and keep projects moving within our six-year program. What we have before you today is there's Thelma Drake's recommendation and approval. Is we have before you an adjustment and reallocation of rail enhancement funds, which is our dedicated revenue source for both passenger and rail capital operations, not operations, but capital. We're moving some projects that were previously funded. One is the Elliston Intermodal Facility, which is the Norfolk Southern Heartland Corridor Intermodal Facility. That's currently being delayed due to a court proceedings on the front brought about by Montgomery County's opposition, as well as Noakesville to Calverton, which is about a 7-mile double track project up on the corridor just south of Manassas. Those projects we're making a recommendation to move in the 6-year program to the realistic actual build date times in the program. With the funds that are residual that are left over from that, just over $47,418,000, we're also recommending that the board move those monies into the FY11 program for the Norfolk train improvements with Norfolk Southern. Again, there is no adjustment in total values in the 6-year program as to what this board has approved in program. It's just we're moving projects around. So we're actually constructing projects with the funds we have available now that really need to be built now, and then we're moving to target dates for Noakesville to Calverton and the Elliston facility further out in the 6-year program when it's a more realistic construction date. Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions at this time.
I just want to wait and make sure everyone understands. I mean, especially with the Elliston thing. It's just because of the lawsuit, it's delayed the project start date. So why pretend we're going to spend the money this year when reality is not going to be until next year? All we're doing. There's no change of projects or the amount of money per project. It's just simply moving to who's going to be first anyway.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
I will move for approval, but I want to make sure obviously Norfolk Southern and all, they're all happy with this transfer. They're on board with all that.
Yes, they are. Jim Hickson, who is their Vice President of Law and Corporate Relations, approved this request. We made one minor adjustment to it on the timing of when we had those projects shifted, but otherwise we're good to go.
Yeah, move approval, Mr. Chairman.
And with the reiteration that the Elliston money is still there, it's just in another source, I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Programming. Ms. Busher.
This first item is one we introduce each year at this time. It really helps us to deal with adding the bonus OA to the program. In other words, for us to be able to add projects to the program using this obligation authority, we need to amend, or for you to pass this resolution to allow the secretary to take the necessary actions to utilize the additional or prior unused balances of federal funds and obligation authority.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? I'll see you guys in the Caymans. Next item.
The next item is we're also requesting the approval of the addition of some projects to this existing six-year improvement program. Those projects are attached, and what you can see represented here are federal funds that were sitting on some projects that needed to be, redirected or put on other projects to get those funds spent. So we had some federal safety dollars not moving forward in the program, and they now are being redirected to projects that will be underway once you approve their addition to the program. So this is a much more active look into the program for funding that has not been moving previously.
Okay.
Do the funds stay within a district in which you're moving it to another project? Will it be a project within that district?
Not always. There is some money that we have had sitting in what we will call a balance entry or control account that never had been allocated to projects yet. So we have allocated those to that funding to projects, and then some money has been pulled off projects and put elsewhere in the system, but not necessarily within that jurisdiction.
Yeah,
we have tried to do that where those jurisdictions were able to identify projects and agreed to move forward.
Now, the source of these funds, are they special funds or the?
No, this is federal money.
Federal money. Yeah.
We get a certain apportionment each year for safety projects.
And this is good news.
This is excellent news. With these monies not being actively moving on a project, we were unable to obligate them. And in some instances, they were obligated and were released by FSWA because they had been sitting too long and there were no expenditures against those funds.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Kim.
My frustration is from the fact that this is a long list, and it appeared to be a long list of projects that there's inactivity on.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, I'm concerned that, without knowing the reasons for all of these, but, this is just a symptom of a problem that we've got in terms of bringing projects to completion.
Well, why don't we look at the commissioner and ask him?
Mr. King, we've been being very aggressive in reviewing our projects, and some of the safety projects, the localities would apply to use those funds, and then we would approve their application if they met certain criteria. The actual amount was limited to, I say, maybe $1 million was the actual limit that they could apply for. In many cases, the project that they wanted to put the money on was maybe a $3 million project. So what happened, you got into a situation where you had to keep trying to apply for money to do the project. Well, the problem is if you wait too long, you hit that magic period and the money is released. So the staff has been going through and trying to work through this situation and put the money back on projects where they could be used. Now, in other cases, that's just one example. In other cases, we had situations where you may have a very aggressive public works department that was applying for the money, but maybe didn't have agreement from their administration that that's a project that they wanted to use. So in some of those cases, we had to take the money and put it back on other approved projects. So there are a number of reasons. But what we've been doing is trying to go through all these projects, identify projects that were not moving, put them on projects that would go forward, contact the localities, and give them an option. You're either going to move the project or we'll have to remove the funding. So that's why you see such a long list of projects. We're trying to go through and clean up the projects, identify projects that are not moving, and get them on the street and get work done.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, are you having difficulties because you have a shortage of people to do that work in the past? Is that a is there a constraint in the number of people that you're able to put against this task?
I'm not certain that was the major reason.
It's part of the issue, though, too, was, right, didn't we have criteria on these projects that made it?
Yeah, we had some criteria, again, except because we had $1 million cap, some of the projects would require $3 or $4 million to do. To get to accumulate funding, that was one of the issues. And I would say that we just weren't aggressive in checking on the status of these projects. And I think the city was there holding the funds because they weren't really ready to move. We weren't aggressively checking them. And as a result, the money just sank.
Yeah.
So now we've been writing letters to localities, and we've been making calls to public works departments, and we're saying you need to move these projects. So that's why you see this list on the agenda today.
It's sort of like our enhancement project problem, but on steroids.
Yes.
For clarification for Mr. Coolmay, a lot of these projects are locally administered, not VDOT administered.
Mr. Miller?
What kind of time frame are you really referring to when you say slow-moving project? Is that something that's been sitting there for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? Is it a criteria that you use?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the federal government has a criteria, and you guys have to correct me. If it's a certain balance and there's no activity within a year, that item is eligible to be released. And I apologize, I don't have the numbers memorized, but if it's if it's a smaller amount, they may give you 2 years. If it's a larger amount, you may have 1 year. And I just forgotten the amount.
So going forward, is it fair to say that our hope is that we'll be writing those letters at a year or 2 years or whenever it is, and not 3 or 4 years down the road?
Yes, we are clearing this up, and we're also changing the rules. If we have a project that's a legitimate safety project and it's a $3 million project, we've changed the rules such that you can apply for $3 million.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Peek.
We're discussing this. I'm trying to get this cleared up in my mind, and I apologize. Appendix A are projects that have not moved forward.
Okay.
Correct. And so that money's been allocated but not spent. And so we're now taking that sum of $37 million and giving it for all the projects?
No. These are the projects that we're putting the money on.
Moving them from the past 6 years where we didn't spend it and moving them to the...
You can't see the old projects.
We don't see the projects.
We don't see the old ones.
Because the money went off. As soon as it wasn't obligated in time, it just goes into, quote, unquote, never land.
Well, then but we're moving these projects to the Appendix A to the next 6-year plan, it says.
No, it's for the... It's
or added to the 6-year improvement.
The current 6-year program.
2011 through 2016.
That's the year we're in. That's the program we're in.
But it says they're being added.
They're new.
They're new.
Because,
so they weren't spent, so they went off, and now we're adding them back.
They're different.
No.
We don't know the ones that came off, Mark. The ones that she has not given. So Appendix A is all new stuff.
Additional
money's on projects that may exist.
Okay, so to think about it like this, because remember, this is all federal money, that we have an allocation. A certain amount of money is allocated to us by the federal government for these types of projects. Previously, we may have approved part of that allocation going to a specific project, but not actually obligating the money. Or we could have obligated the money, but then the project did not actually go forward. So basically, after a certain time period, if the project does not go forward, whether through contract or through obligation, it would then go back into the pool. Now, basically what started happening was, this was happening so frequently, we started accumulating a larger, so every year we get a certain amount of money,
And so we had not only new money coming in, but we had old old projects that the money was circulating back into as well. So essentially, it was like, you know, trying to, you know, is that right?
Yeah. And then that is correct.
So now we, and part of it was our own way of dealing with this program, putting limits on it, whatever. So we had old money coming back in and new money coming in. The pot kept on getting bigger. And so now we're actually got it on real projects that are going to be in the plan. Most of it's going to be spent this year.
Yes, we're trying. There are going to at least be, hopefully, be advertised, and they may or may not be awarded by the end of the fiscal year, but that's the goal.
And that's the Appendix A?
Yes.
Well, then, okay. Now I don't see any Lynchburg District projects. So now I'm mad, but I don't see it. I thought we were doing well to stay off the list, but now we're not doing well to not be on the list.
That's right. Yeah, and listen, and they have to go, and they've been very aggressively now looking for projects to put this against, because it's for safety improvements, and it has to meet certain federal criteria, and we can do it without doing a match, right? It's 100%.
No.
Okay, it's 80-20?
10%.
Okay, 90-10. So it is, but it has to meet the criteria that the Fed set out for us for these safety improvements.
Mr. Worley, what did I miss?
No, that's it.
Can we obtain the projects that came off?
Let me clarify. One more time, and I apologize. Right. A lot of this, some of this money was actually sitting in
a suspense account.
Suspense account until we could come up with some additional projects.
Okay.
From when money is released from fire, through the fire process, or new money's coming in, as the Secretary indicated, and we weren't, it was adding on top of old money sitting on projects. Some of this is a culmination of a lot of things with the balance sitting in, or the money sitting in the balance entry. It would be somewhat of a challenge to go back so far to figure out some of the projects.
Well, I'm just trying to get to, is it a TPO level, is it an agency, or is it us?
It's us.
State
along
okay.
with that's whatever locality.
Fine, okay.
So it's, you've been seeing us, the state's been going out thinking the MPOs on unspent money, but we've also been doing it to ourselves.
I got you. Okay, that's my
And question. So why, she could probably give you maybe the list for the last year.
Yeah,
so,
some of these. Yeah.
But once you go beyond a year or so, I mean, these projects were coming on and off, and some of it was just fantasy.
For a while.
I was just trying to get to what we were going to fix it, and it's at the state level.
Yes.
And so that's what my question was.
I believe, as the Commissioner indicated, this is something that will be aggressively managed going forward.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Did we have a motion?
Moved, yeah. Adoption of the
resolution. Do we have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Last item?
The last item is where we're actually transferring dollars between a couple of projects that are moving from one project to another in the current program. And this is a normal transactional resolution that we do from time to time. If the transfers are, what, more than 10% between projects?
Any questions on this one? Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Sorry for the
contract. Okay. I think there's a few questions, but before we get those questions, these numbers are, I mean, some... Our estimates versus some of these bids are just amazing.
50%.
We're getting some really good deals right now.
This is why trying to push out as much money as possible right now makes enormous sense for us, just to get a value on the dollar. Because, and I think, Mr. McCarthy, you had a question that you wanted to raise, but I mean, that project isn't one of them.
It's not so much a question, it's a comment. When we get to that, and just it's on page 4, Huguenot Bridge. The first three here happen to be in Richmond District also, and they're all terrific projects, and I would certainly feel comfortable moving those three as a block for approval.
Do you want to go through, is there anything specifically you want to?
Well, I would like to make sure, if it pleases the board, that everyone's real clear on what we're voting on today, because I've added some things. You'll notice you have some pink sheets there. I've added a page 3 because I have removed one project, C-47, from page 3. On page 12, that's on a pink sheet, I've changed the date. That's the only change on that. And I've added a page 14, which is a new project from the city of Hampton that I just got a few days ago to bring before you. And also in the back is a project from July that was part of the resolution passed in July by the board for our projects, giving the commissioner the authority to award our projects in the August recess period. So we have that here, and we're obligated under that resolution to bring that before you.
Okay. Any questions? All right, working on yes, Mr. Richard.
I see one project is on a pink sheet. This project, the Opal project, and one is, and it's also listed on another sheet. Why is it listed twice, once on a pink sheet?
The pink sheet is what you should be reacting to. When you get a pink sheet from us, that means there's been a change to the what you have in your book, the original.
What was the change in that one? I can't happen to see.
The only thing that was changed is I removed one project that was on that page.
Oh. But
we had to remove that project. I'll bring that to you.
The Opal project stayed the same.
The Opal project is exactly the same, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And the C-47 will be brought to you next board meeting. We weren't ready to award that yet.
Any other questions? We'll take the Mr. McCarthy, you want to make the motion on those three?
On the first three there, on page 1 and page 2, I move their approval.
Second. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Someone want to have a motion on all the rest?
I'll make a motion for all the rest.
Well, I do want to make a comment about the item F-40.
Okay, do we have a second then?
Second.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. McCarthy.
Item F-40 on page 4, besides having an excellent bid of $35 million, this is the replacement of the Huguenot Bridge in Richmond and Henrico. And it has been the number one priority of the Richmond MPO and the Richmond District since I joined the board in July of 2002.
What took you so long?
I can't tell you how happy I am to have this Huguenot Bridge project have such a great bid. This bridge is as old as the oldest baby boomer in the room, and it's been pretty much maintained continuously for the last decade or more. And yet, it's taken 8 years to get to this point, and there's an object lesson in there, but we'll deal with that another time. I think it is really a red-letter day for Richmond to get the Huguenot Bridge, and I ask your support for it. It's a terrific culmination of an 8-year-long struggle to get this project funded and bid on, and we hope under construction in the next month or so.
Are there any Huguenots left in Richmond?
Yeah. Good question.
Mr. Ellis is.
Well, the...
Mr. Archie Ellis will also be... he's been to this board...
Mr. Ellis should be very...
...fewer than 25 times talking about repairing or rebuilding this bridge, so he'll be elated with this action.
All right, so I amend my motion to put this project first.
Okay, just I want to remember, everyone, when we start getting complaints about the traffic caused by this work, please send them to Mr. McCarthy.
And this is really an excellent example of what we were talking about, the good values we're getting on projects. We had 12 bidders on a project of this size. Typically, this would bring 3 or 4. And you had a Hampton Roads vendor that was the low bidder. He's going to probably employ a lot of the innovations that he uses to build bridges in the Hampton Road area and build a lot of it from the water.
I would add to that, this contractor is the same one, as it turns out, who built the new bridge over the Chickahominy River on Route 5, and they completed that project ahead of schedule and under budget. So I have high hopes for the Huguenot Bridge at least being done ahead of schedule and maybe even a little bit more under budget.
Mr. Chairman, the yes. savings on this and the Fairfax County project will more than pay for the North Fort Shenandoah River Bridge in Stanton District. If anybody wants to share.
Gaska was one of the three on 462.
Dr. Davis, thank you. We'll take that under consideration. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. That's it. We did them all, right?
Do we want to go through the rest of them, or is that...
Yeah. Thank you. All right, we have a couple of resolutions. Dr. Davis?
Yes, sir. We were discussing over the last several meetings the need for additional funding to be able to meet our obligations as a board for both maintaining our system and meeting at least minimal construction needs for the growth of the Commonwealth. And thanks to the staff, they have drafted a resolution that I think is very positive. Not so offensive, and yet states clearly the view that the Commonwealth Transportation Board believes that additional funding is needed for us to live up to the obligations that legislatively have been placed upon us to do our duty to provide for both transportation and safety of the people of the Commonwealth. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the entire purpose of it, is not to offend, but to simply encourage and state a viewpoint that we would appreciate legislative and administrative attention to funding that would support our work.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I recognize a desperate need for such a resolution. We can't appropriate the money here, but I think it's our responsibility to let the legislature know what we need. I'm delighted that we have a resolution. I'd like to see it stronger than it is. I'd like to see it more specific than it is. It fails to even mention that the biggest single source of state funds being fuel tax, not being adjusted since 1986, while the cost of asphalt and steel and concrete has skyrocketed. I think that there's a need for stronger, more specific language, including the requirement that we need dedicated funds and adjustments to the present sources.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak to that just briefly. My sympathy is there as we discuss this. I would love to almost suggest exactly how they might go about doing this, but I felt that would be offensive. And I think if we get too specific, other than stating the obvious needs for maintaining the system and meeting actually what I would call minimal construction needs to keep up with the growth of the Commonwealth for the safety and well-being of our citizens, I think we step over our bounds as a board. And having been on both sides of the fence with this, having been a legislator and now sitting on this board, I think there's a fine balance there, and this resolution was attempting to kind of walk that narrow path, although I would have no objections to adding more specific language to the needs. I think I would stay away from suggesting how much and how.
Well, in fact, just to follow up on Dr. Davis, your comments, Mr. Bowie's comments, I think I mean, this opportunity first, I mean, I think when we discussed this originally, why it's written in this manner was because our job is, quote unquote, to take the monies given to us and utilize it to the best that we can, given the statutes. This was, you know, to essentially lay out that that given where the needs are, it's going to be very difficult for us to meet the demands of the Commonwealth. And it was, as Dr. Davis wanted to point out, was a, it's our obligation to let the General Assembly know that. I think there'll be more opportunities for us to get a little bit more specific as the fall goes on. But I thought I think there's a great opportunity for the board to lay out at least this initial marker regarding where we feel where it feels the funding versus needs are right now. Mr. Korzynski.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Mr. Bowie. I would love to see, not asking for where it's coming from, but the words sustainable and dedicated in there. Because that's still leaving it wide open for the legislature, but it's at least saying we need sustainable dedicated funds rather than just funding. It's a little bit more targeted in what we're asking for. Doctor, I would ask you, do you think that's offensive to them?
I don't think it's offensive, Mr. Chairman, but I think it's prescribing. And the less prescribing you do, we have other former legislators here, I think the better off you are, because those are policy decisions that, in my feeling, dedicated and sustainable are both words that describe actions that legislators need to decide. Do they want to give it to you for 2 years, 3 years, 10 years? And I think we could state the case for why sustainable and dedicated is better, but I think that's a political decision beyond the responsibility of the board in a way. And my heart is on the side of what we're talking about here.
Right.
But I just felt that the language of stating clearly that the board feels the funds we're receiving are inadequate to meet our legislatively mandated requirement, and we'd like for you to address that. The message that I thought was most important.
Clearly, Mr. Chairman, that captures the mood of the board on this. Furthermore, for our newest colleagues, it reinforces something that VDOT actually certified to the General Assembly last fall. I pulled out the exact language because I use it all the time when I talk with audiences, and they actually are surprised to hear it. VDOT last fall told the General Assembly that its assets cannot meet performance standards at current and proposed funding levels shown in the 6-year maintenance and operations budget program. And that's supposed to be for our number one priority maintenance. That disappeared into the vapor of the General Assembly, and there was no real reaction to it. And even legislators that I remind that, they don't remember seeing it or hearing it. So I think this resolution is another attempt to say very directly and very simply that there is a mismatch between the expectations and our legal responsibilities and the resources that we're being given to accomplish those things without, as you say, being prescriptive.
Mr. McCarthy, and then Ms. Lloyd.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to propose a friendly amendment to the last paragraph of this, which I think supports Mr. Bowie's observation, Mr. Korzynski's observation, and also Dr. Davis, whose heart is with us but hadn't quite found the words to express his feelings. And I would like to insert a word he just used in the second, at the end of the second line of the "now therefore be it resolved by the Commonwealth Transportation Board," the ability to meet its legislative mandates with the inadequate level of funding. If we add the word inadequate, I think we convey simply, directly, and without bias, a truth that we all grasp.
So we're okay with that?
At our current level of funding.
It has to go to...
I have no objection, Mr. Chairman.
Second Amendment. Yeah. I'm comfortable with the language. I just wanted to... I think Mr. Sterling brought this up. We also asked the agencies to come up and quantify what we really thought that number was. In other words, not to put in this resolution, but has any work been done on that? In other words, really what the number is. And I think, Secretary, you brought that up a couple times, too. So that when we're talking to the legislators, we're not just putting it. We all know it's inadequate, but what I get a lot of responses is, well, how much? So, again, not for this resolution, but for our own benefit, have we come to grasp with what we think that some number...
Commissioner Worley or Director Drake can address that.
Back of the envelope.
We've been doing some work on trying to develop the amount of funding that we would need, but we're still working on that.
at this point. So I don't have a number to give you there.
And inherent in that is we got some projects that probably don't need to do either. I understand that. We're going to really take a hard look, and I would just encourage us to continue to do that.
And they are looking. Director Drake, did you have any?
Yeah, we do look at that regularly, just like today. The resolution can move the money. And we do have a very good sense of what we need, and we'll be making some recommendations to the Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to get too detailed here, but we've been presented information about the quality of paving, the status of our bridges. I could go down the list. It's been very explicit. And if we're satisfied with seeing the number of bridges continue to increase, even with all the federal stimulus money and the other things we've been spending, the number of bridges still not adequate by most major standards. And to drive on some of the roads in the Commonwealth of Virginia, one of which has just been improved far beyond anything that I had hoped it would, and that was 64 right out of here around the city. Every time I drove on it, I felt like my car was going to come apart until now. These are just examples, I think, that we could quantify from that. But then again, you get into a qualitative decision about how far does the legislators want to go for safety and convenience of our public. And that's their responsibility in a way. Just knowing the percentage of bridges that are inadequate and the amount of pavement that is bad and how fast it goes bad, if those legislative committees understood that, I would think our work would be a lot easier. And we have all those numbers and all those statistics. It's how far we're going to go. Are all the bridges up to a certain standard, the requirement, or is it 10% that are deficient? Those are the kind of questions that we come up with. And those are political decisions in large measure that are a little bit beyond us telling them that we think they're inadequate.
We have the number one rural interstates in the country. I mean, that's what I get thrown back because they can. We're number one. We have the number one rated rural interstates in the country, if you believe the last report that came out. So I agree with you, Dr. Davis. I really do. I'm just trying to encourage us to try to for our benefit,
yeah,
to quantify it, because it's almost like it's such a big hole that they keep pushing it down the road. Whereas if we can lop off pieces, what I'm incrementally attacking, just like we're doing rail or other projects, incrementally start attacking it is what I was trying to get to, what I understand.
That's why I think, Mr. Chairman, that it would take a revised six-year plan to tell the true story at a minimum. For instance, on 81, I don't think you can raise enough money in 1 year, nor could we use it to properly address the needs of Interstate 81 out in my area, and you can describe in every one of your areas something similar to that probably. It is a revised six-year plan, and it does require dedicated and long-standing funding to really resolve the long-term situation. But this is, I see, as a step in the right direction.
Do you have a motion?
I move approval.
You have a second?
Of the amended resolution.
Are you amending it to add inadequate?
Yes.
I would just add substitute current, which I believe. I have, if I may speak to that.
Substitute current?
Current.
Instead of inadequate, you can go current.
I think as a board.
Maybe we should, Mr. Chairman, you should have a, I accept as a friendly amendment inadequate, but if they want to change it, maybe we should go through an amendment process.
Do you agree to current or no?
Well, current is very different than inadequate.
And then I will speak to, I think as a board, tell the legislators to use the word inadequate. I think that takes on a certain political connotation that is not as a benefit for us as a board to state to them. And it goes back to what you were saying,
yeah.
You know, what level's adequate, what level's not adequate, what level does the federal government say for our bridges?
Yeah.
I think it takes it into a political realm. Versus, I think, say, our current funding, we're not pleased with current funding based on our obligations under the Virginia Code, and I think it's much less political and a much better appropriate way for this board to respond to the legislatures.
Can I just make a suggestion since I don't get to vote unless there's a tie? If you made it current, then let us, because when we do say inadequate, we don't right now have the full data to go back and show you needs versus funding. We will hope we're moving in that direction. So if you made it current,
I mean, we know at least on maintenance, we're heading in the right direction on maintenance. But when you get the construction capacity, whichever, it becomes a little bit harder. You made it current, and then let us develop a little bit more on what the project list. Or
Mr. Chairman, I suggest you make a motion to amend it and
I'll accept current.
Okay, very good.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Excellent. Next motion. Next resolution. And we'll come back to you. I just had a couple things I just want to make before
Mr. Chairman.
Aware of at the end. We have on Butch Davis.
Actually, Mr. McCarthy,
yes,
you've got the resolution? I'm sorry, are we up to
Witches? Yes.
All right. I won't read this whole resolution to you. It's in front of you, but it commends John J. Butch Davies III for his service on the Commonwealth Transportation Board over the last 8 years, and I move its approval.
I second.
I move we approve with applause.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed. All right. Mr. Coulomay.
Mr. Chairman, the Route 29 Corridor Study Subcommittee that was appointed by this board has made great progress, and the resolution before you begins to give you some indication of what we are continuing to work on, but we need some additional time. We had planned actually to ask to finalize our report back to you in November. Since that meeting has now been postponed until December, this resolution would give us additional direction to produce the report by our December meeting time, and I move its approval.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just one comment. Based on Mark's concern about this, maybe the date should be 2020 instead of 2020.
Please, not that long.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any other new business?
Chairman?
Yes.
I've had a concern recently in going over this 2035 STT and the V-Trans 2035. In my area, there seems to be great consternation about this process. First, that my local governing bodies do not feel that they have been consulted properly on this, and many of the policies or proposals violate their comprehensive plans. We've just talked about the matter of funding, and some of the proposals there are somewhat completely disconnected from reality and, in my view, constrained by a reasonable budget and fiscal consideration. Which provides kind of a credibility gap here, that we're being unrealistic. And it's kind of taking us back to those days that we put stuff on the six-year plan and knowing we didn't have any money, and it would just sit there for like 20 years. You know, the thing would sit there. I think it's very problematic here. And that we ought to maybe reconsider this. I think it will hinder our opportunities to procure additional revenues, because I think the legislators and other folks might say, well, we're just going to go wild on some things and not properly balance fiscal consideration. Therefore, I think it can really undercut our efforts to try to get some things done here in the Commonwealth. For example, in my little rural county, that plan calls for adding $1 billion, and the governing body is opposed to it. Now, if we have a lot of things like that in there, I don't think we're going to get any new revenue. So I think we just need to be more realistic, and we don't want to. We've had credibility gaps in the past with the six-year plan, and I just think this process goes in that direction, and I'm very concerned to reiterate that I don't believe that the local governing bodies have had the proper input on this, and as they represent their taxpayers. So I think we ought to consider just where we go with this, maybe at the next board meeting, but I have serious concerns about this.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just make one comment. I served on the special committee that helped to craft some of the language for the full body, and I would welcome all new members to get the document out and look at it as a document that in 2035, which is a long time from now, you think about what the Commonwealth transportation system needs to look like. And it certainly won't look like it looks today. And if we try to put that in context of what we can fund today with the way we're doing things, we just throw it all in the trash can. It is a visionary document, and it should be raising issues about rail, passenger rail. It should be raising issues about these corridor improvements. It should be raising issues about a whole variety of things. And that's what it does, and I don't think it was ever intended, at least my participation in it, was to lay out any kind of funding plan, but instead to address how transportation in Virginia is going to be shaped by 2035. So I would say that anybody that wants to get back into it again, get in the process for the next year cycle or whatever and put your input into it. But I see no relationship to the six-year funding plan in truth with what needs to happen in 2035. And I share that with you, in good grace.
So my concern is that it really doesn't have too many new ideas, at least in my area. All we're doing is significantly adding a lane, which is not thinking out of the box.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
on Route 50.
I would hazard to disagree a bit because there's an entire vision in that talks about a different delivery system that doesn't involve cars and roads. It involves high-speed rail, both passenger and freight. It involves a number of things, which I thought you were talking about, because in that case, we are talking about something equivalent to building an interstate system in Virginia if you're really going to address any of those needs for working with our port, for doing 95, for addressing 81. We're talking about billions of dollars over 10 to 20 years in order to address any of those issues. And that's not even in the conversation since I've been on this board, at least in the last 5 or 6 years, about any vision whatsoever that's a requirement of the people of Virginia to pay for that kind of system.
The gentleman will yield. I think
I will yield, and I apologize.
No. Your input is very important. But I don't think that it's been sold properly, because I've got local governing bodies and taxpayers coming up saying, if this is what they're going to do, I'm not going to support any new revenue because it just doesn't make sense. So they don't understand it. They're saying it will impact their comprehensive plans right now, because once something gets on their specific plans in that STP thing, and if those get on the books, then what happens. You can't do certain things, development around this area, because there's something planned in the future. I'm not saying this in a very articulate way, but I think you all know what I mean. When something gets on the books that a road or a project is going to be here, and then somebody wants to do something, you can't do it because a road is anticipated or something. And it's, so it impinges upon their activities now. And they're very concerned about this. And it's been kind of uniform for my local governing bodies. And I don't see how we can sell a plan unless we have, this old saying, all politics is local. Unless we have our local governing bodies behind some of this stuff, they're going to write the General Assembly members. And that's what mine are doing right now, saying VDOT is out of control again. That's what the Parkview Board has told me. You better watch them. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. It's unintended, I'm sure.
Can I ask, to begin with, whether we can first get the planning staff that helped put together these studies to sit down with Mr. Rich and go through them, and also the outreach efforts, and maybe just sit some time, go through them. I have heard a lot of concerns and complaints raised about at least how we outreach to some of the localities. But why don't we go through, see if going through that, Mr. Rich, whether all the issues that you've raised were, that the issues that you raised were, you know, maybe were addressed during the process or maybe weren't addressed during the process, and then we can come back to the board and talk about it.
Okay.
Sure.
Is that okay?
And we'll just, again, just we'll have the staff first sit down with you, and maybe actually all the new members sit down and explain to them, because these two documents were just recently issued within the last year, and explain to them what it is and how it was developed, and to start to take a little walk through some of the concerns that you've got.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would comment also that the six-year plan is, by nature, a work in progress that's revised annually. And most in the last few years, several members of this board can remember that we reduced it one year by 311 projects, making those adjustments in line with what the reality was.
Right.
So the economy itself will help us do that as we move along with the six-year plan, and some of the projects will have to be adjusted accordingly. So it can't really correlate with the vision, because we're dealing with dollars we have and projected to have over a six-year time frame, and the two just will not correlate together.
I was just trying to make that point that, you know, when I was on the board the last time, we've had projects that were on there for like 20 years, so it turned into a vision thing that was never funded. And I don't see any funding talk in this 2005 thing. So you don't want to tell people you're going to do this and there's no funding. It was like the old ways of dealing with the six-year plan, where stuff sat on there for 20 years. And I don't think we're being realistic with the taxpayers and the citizens when we do things like that. Just to put out a wish list, no connection with budget constraints. I just think it's unfair, and it makes us look bad when we don't accomplish it. That's what I'm worried about.
Mr. Chairman, I would welcome the opportunity as a new member to get a more full briefing on the 2035. I didn't know until Dr. Davis mentioned it that there was a subcommittee that brought it together and how that happened. And I want to learn more about when does this board prioritize what's going to go into a 2035 plan. Because that's the one thing in the readings that I've seen so far, and the somewhat limited education that I've started to receive and hopefully expand that prioritization seems to be something that kind of floats, and I don't know if we've hit on that. I certainly, as sitting as an individual member, want to see us prioritize what has to be done multimodal in the state, so that when you go back and talk to a local board, they kind of understand the vision that Dr. Davis is talking about, that the board collectively has for the Commonwealth.
Yeah. Okay.
Good points. Any other items? New business?
Quick administrative matter. For planning for December in our board meeting, are we going to be there 3 days?
Yeah, I would expect to be there 3 days.
Okay, thank you.
What is that?
There's two items. One is, and both of them we'll have to do at the next meeting. The first is I would like to bring to the board a central review of, we've proposed the establishment of an infrastructure bank, and we'd like to give the board an overview about what that is and why we're proposing it and how we think it might be able to assist in moving some of these projects forward. And right now, the funding from that would come from ABC privatization, but the way we've constructed is that we could either appropriate money into it, or the General Assembly can, as well as one-time money, such as the general fund surpluses. So we will put that on the agenda, at least on the work session next time. The other thing is that we are going to be finishing, or actually has finished, an outside audit of various functions of BDOT, particularly, but transportation generally. that will be released publicly, potentially next week or so. It's my intention to bring a fairly lengthy work session to the board at the next meeting to walk through the results of that. So those will be two items we will be placing on the agenda for the October meeting.
Mr. Chairman, do we know what day the actual board meeting will be at the end of December? Which of the 3 days? Or
I think we were planning on it for the Tuesday afternoon.
8, 9, 10, so Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So we were working all this out because the logistics of working with the House, the Senate, ourselves. I think the rail advisory board is going to be having a meeting. The aviation board. I mean, we're essentially trying to get all the leadership of the legislative, of executive, all the outside boards and commissions all up there during that week. But we will, as soon as we finalize a little bit more about the details, we will get. But that will be essentially we're moving our November board meeting to December instead. And our intention is essentially to walk through during the conference itself, walk through some of this work we're doing on strategic plan, looking long term, go through mode by mode, some of the reform efforts and suggestions, and then spend a good part of one day talking about funding needs and funding and revenue. So it should be a fun week. Yeah.
How many days are we actually meeting?
We're meeting one day. And then we would hope that you all would stay for the actual conference itself with the governor.
And the conference is how many days?
8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. We were going to meet on the Tuesday or Wednesday morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Wednesday morning. And then afternoon session on the conference. So morning CTB, afternoon session with the governor in the afternoon, all day Thursday going through stuff, and then Friday morning. And so I think we're planning on ending it at noon.
Great.
And with Friday morning, walking through a lot of funding issues.
And that conference is in December in Roanoke?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Are there any matters that we ought to be aware of that are pending on the in the form process on transportation other than the funding through the privatization, which I support? I noticed that there were some proposals that the commissioner sent out that would actually impinge upon the jurisdiction of this board. And certainly we would expect that nothing would go forward to the General Assembly without this, that affects the powers of this board without being fully discussed here, that type of thing. I don't know if that was being considered by Fred Malik or not. It was just something that was in that package that that the commissioner had sent out. Anyhow, if there's anything, maybe we should talk about that in the next workshop. I don't know.
Sure. Well, again, the Reform Commission, there's several avenues designed up to moving forward. The first is we've been working to develop this list, and it's not stuff that necessarily we support or don't support. It just simply we've gathered a list of matrices that, again, are all posted on our website, and we have essentially given those to the Reform Commission, and they may or may not move forward on those. Mm-hmm. Then the second set of packages essentially is from the executive branch, not the CTB, but we are looking at items that are separate from essentially that would be potentially part of the governor's legislative package.
Maybe we can talk about those at the next workshop.
Well, there's nothing to talk about because the governor hasn't signed off on any package yet.
Oh, okay. All but right. Certainly anything affecting the CTB we need to discuss.
I will.
You tell the governor that, okay?
I'll tell him. I don't mind. I'm sure he would want our input. He's got a listener already. He listens to the taxpayers and his voice.
And on that note,
meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.